Deuteronomy chapter 17, and we're going to be looking at some verses here in this chapter that can be very helpful to us, I believe. You know, God wanted to be Israel's king throughout their existence, and that was God's passion and desire, but he knew in the hearts of the people that that's not what they would want. They would want a human king, and he knew that. And so even during the time of Moses, before the people even had entered into the land of promise, God knew that the hearts of the people would eventually turn away from him and want a king. And so he gave some instructions to Moses regarding the king that was to become in the future. And I want us to read here in Deuteronomy 17, beginning with verse number 14, and we'll look down through verse number 20. Beginning with verse number 14, and it says, "And when thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, and shalt possess it, and shalt dwell therein, and shalt say, I will set a king over me, like all the nations that are about me, thou shalt in any wise set him king over thee, whom the Lord thy God shall choose. One from among thy brethren shalt thou set king over thee. Thou mayest not set a stranger over thee, which is not thy brother. But he shall not multiply horses to himself, nor cause the people to return to Egypt, to the end that he should multiply horses. For as much as the Lord hath said unto you, ye shall henceforth return no more that way. Neither shall he multiply wives to himself, that his heart turn not away. Neither shall he multiply to himself silver and gold." Verse 18, "And it shall be, when he sitteth upon the throne of his kingdom, that he shall write him a copy of the law in a book out of that which is before the priests, the Levites. And it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep all the words of this law and these statutes to do them, that his heart be not lifted up above his brethren, and that he turn not aside from the commandments to the right hand or to the left, to the end that he may prolong his days in his kingdom, he and his children in the midst of Israel." Now, as we look at this, we see here that God gave him four commands. And the king was supposed to be, first of all, he was supposed to not multiply horses. Now, all of these commands seems like Solomon broke. But a lot of the other kings did too, but Solomon was one of the first ones to break it. He's only the third king. But God says, do not multiply horses to yourself. God did not want them going back into Egypt because he had delivered them from Egypt, and Egypt was the sign of the world, and Egypt would lead them back into the things of the world. And God said, I don't want you doing that anymore. I don't want you going that way. So he said, don't multiply horses. And he said, I don't want you to multiply wives to yourself. They didn't listen to that either. But God said, I don't want you to multiply wives. I've given you one. That's all you need. And if you multiply wives, it's going to cause problems, and it'll lead you to idolatry. And that's exactly what had happened. Then he said, I don't want you to multiply to yourself silver and gold. I don't want you to strive to get rich. A lot of the kings did get rich, and it took advantage of the people, and took from them to be able to build up their own empires. But then God tells us the last one. He says, I want you to have your own copy of the Bible, and I want you to read it every single day. Now, in those days, how much of the Bible did they have? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. That's it. All right? But those five books, there's a lot in those five books. And God said, I want you to have your own copy of the Bible, and I want you to read it every day. Now, as we look at this morning, you look at this and I think, well, Pastor, why are you talking to us about this? This is for the kings. But did you know that God calls us as Christians kings and priests? Over in the book of Revelation chapter 1, verse number 6, it says, He hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So every true Christian then is a king and a priest before God. And therefore, when God says, this is what I expect out of kings, we can certainly say that, well, it also applies to us. If we're a king before God, God wants us to do these things as well. And all of these commandments are wise and good for us to keep in mind. But this morning I want us to focus on the last one. We're starting a new year. I always like to encourage and motivate you to get into the Bible as you start the new year out and make that a priority in your life. You know, multitudes of Christians in the world today never read their Bible. If they ever read it, it's only if they pick it up and have a glance at it once in a while, or if they have a problem, they might go looking for something to find an answer. But they don't regularly read the Bible. And that ought not to be true of us. And as far as I know, most all of you read the Bible. But I want to encourage you to read it regularly, every day. And I want you to grow as you read it. And as we look at this passage here, I want us to notice four steps that God promised would take place if they read the Bible regularly. All right? So let's look at these things that God had told the king he wanted him to do and see how God is going to work in that. Number one, the first step he addresses is our need to read the Bible regularly. Verse number 18 again, he says, it shall be when thou sit on thy throne of thy kingdom that thou shalt write him a copy of the law in a book out of that which is before the priests and the Levites. Now, the five books of Moses, they had it in a scroll form. They had a copy for the priests. The priests had a copy there in the tabernacle. They would keep that copy. And the average person didn't have a copy of the Bible. In fact, there was probably nobody that had their own personal copy of the Bible. I mean, to think of writing even those five books, I mean, can you imagine how long it would take you to just sit down and write Genesis 1 to the end of Deuteronomy, just handwriting it out? How many pages that would take? How long it would take? It would take a lot of work to do that. That's just five books. And if we, in those days, if they had their own copy, I mean, go get your Bible. All right, I gotta go get the wheelbarrow first. You know, get the wheelbarrow and load it up in these big old scrolls, great big scrolls, and lay them out on the table and find. I mean, it was not easy. They didn't have all the things we have today. So it was a complicated thing in Moses' day to even contemplate having their own copy of the Bible. But the king, he was not limited in his finances and his ability, and so he was commanded to have his own copy of the Bible. And so he was to write out a copy. Probably didn't mean that he had to write it himself, but he, being a king, could assign someone to write out his own copy of the Bible, and he was to get it from the priests and the Levites, where the original copy was kept, and he was to write out his copy of the Bible. All this pile of scrolls there would have been his. And he could read through that each day. He could take one of these scrolls and he could read it. And it was his job. That God said, I want you to have your own copy and I want you to read it. Now, today, we do not have that same problem. Most of us have our own copy of the Bible. If you don't, there's no excuse. We all have an opportunity to have our own copy of the Bible. And that is a real blessing. And in our age of technology, you know, most of us, including me, have apps on our phone and on our computer that have Bible apps where we can work in those things. And I just want to take a little survey here. I want you to all participate now, all right? Not hard. It's easy. All right? How many of you have a Bible app on your phone? Your Bible app on your phone. All right? Most of you do. All right? Now, my second question applies to the ones that raised your hand. How many of you have a Bible app that allows you to highlight words and add notes? Okay, good. A lot of you do. That's good. If you don't, you need one. All right? And it'll help you. And I'm going to explain why, because it'll be a help to you, especially if you use that on a regular basis as a Bible to study from. You know, carefully studying the Bible requires that we are able to highlight things and to put notes in there. It requires that we do that and that we be able to add things to that. That's one of the reasons why I still think, even in the age of technology, I still think that you need to have a Bible like this. I think this is good. And I'm not saying that you have to only use your printed copy of the Bible, because I don't only use my copy. I use my computer one more than I use this one. All right, but I use them both. And it's great to have one that you can underline in and highlight. And you can see in mine, I've got lots of highlighting. Almost every page has got underlined things in it. And I've got some notes written in the sides. And, you know, that's important. Why? Because once you discover something, it's important to write it down someplace you can find it again. And the best place to write it is in the margin right next to that verse. You discovered that there was a word here that you didn't understand, and here's the definition of that word, or whatever the case may be. Maybe it's a little sermon outline, or that kind of thing. You can write it down there, and then you can find it again. Whereas on the computer, that's even easier yet. I've got thousands of notes on my computer for every, you know, all the verses that I study over. I'll put the notes in there, and then the next time I go to that verse, there's my notes again. That is awesome. That is very helpful. And if you can do that on your phone or on your computer, you need to regularly do that. Now, on the phone, and I know a lot of you guys are the really fast, you know, typers with your thumbs, you know, and that's great. I'm still a hunt and peck one when it comes to my phone. On the computer, I can type well, but on my phone, not very good. But if it's difficult for you to add your little notes to your and your Bible program, then do something different. Go to your, use your computer or use a printed Bible, but write down things you learn, because that's very important to be able to highlight things and underline things and note things, so the next time you're reading through that section, you can say, "Wow, look at that! That is interesting," and you can, and it brings back and it jars your attention to what you've just read. And so be able to have some way of being able to write some notes in your Bible as you study. That's very, very helpful. And I strongly encourage you, if you don't have a Bible app that you can add those things to easily, then get one. I mean, one of the best ones that I know of for Android is MySword. Works awesomely for Android. And there's Blue Letter Bible and some other ones for the iPhones and things that that work well for that kind of thing. So look into that. If you need help, come see me. Now, then notice also, as God instructed the king, he was to own his own copy of the Bible. And then in verse number 19, and it shall be with him, and he shall read therein. It's to be with him. So he was to have that with him every day. Now, that was not an easy task when the thing's huge. Right? He was to have it there. He probably had a place in his office there in the king's palace that he would keep his stack of scrolls of the Bible. It was with him regularly. Now, for us, it's not a problem. All right, we can have the Bible with us all the time. You have your phone with you, and you got your Bible on it, you got it with you all the time. And anytime you're stuck in a line, you can pull it out and you can read through some scriptures. You know, I mean, people are doing all kinds of silly stuff on their phone. You can use it for a profitable thing. You're waiting for somebody. You can go over some verses or read a section or memorize some verses. But you can use your phone to do good things with your Bible there. But we also, even a large print Bible like mine, I mean, in comparison to what the kings of Moses' day would have had, this is tiny. And I've got all 66 books, not just five. And that is a privilege that we have, that we can have a printed copy that is not big, not bulky, not heavy, and that we can carry with us, we can keep with us, we can have handy, have it so that we can have it available for ready use all the time. But that was one of the things that God told the kings they were to have, and that we have a great advantage in that. And the thought that we can have the entire Bible on our phone and so fast access to it, and you can search for things on it, and just, it's amazing the things we can do that couldn't even be done. You know, when I was Girard's age, the thought of a computer to have a Bible on was like, what's that? What are you talking about? I mean, there's no such thing. The only computers I knew of when I was in my early 20s was these massive ones they had in big buildings that the whole thing, and it ran turtle slow, but it was massive. But now, that's not the way it is anymore. You can have it all, and you can have the Bible all just there, and so easy. And then all these commentaries you can get with it, it's so easy. And have scores and thousands of books of commentaries in with your Bible program, and it just one click and you could find them. And it is, we live in an age of technology that makes things very easy to study the Bible. But unfortunately, it hasn't helped very many people study the Bible. There's probably less people to study the Bible now than they did maybe 50 years ago. So it's not the technology's fault, but the technology can help us. And so, folks, we've got some advantages. You can learn a lot from those scriptures if you'll spend the time digging into it. Now, notice there also that it says in verse 19 that he was to read therein all the days of his life. God required that the king read his Bible every day. He said, I want every single day I want you to read your Bible. And it's interesting, the Hebrew word for read here. You check it out. All right? The Hebrew word translated read means to read aloud. I thought that was interesting. Why has it got to be read aloud? I don't know. I mean, you can read aloud to yourself. And I'm not saying that that's the only way to read the Bible, and I certainly don't read the Bible that way all the time. All right? But we've got another thing in our technology age that helps, is you can click on audio Bibles and they can play it to you. You're driving down the road and you can listen to the Bible as it, and they're reading it to you. We've got advantages that they didn't have in those days. And so we can listen to the scriptures. We can read it out loud. We can read it out loud to our family. And we can be a blessing to others by reading the scriptures. But the king was to read the Bible every day. And the key here is to read God's word every single day. And you know, our attitude toward Bible reading will make all the difference. What do I mean by that? If your attitude toward Bible reading is, well, got to read my chapter a day to keep the devil away, so I better get at it. If that's your attitude, you're not going to learn much. You're not going to really enjoy the Bible. Well, I got to read it because Mom and Dad said I got to read the Bible, so I better go read it. You're not going to gain much. But if your attitude is more like that of what Paul wrote to Timothy. Remember, Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:15, he says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. If that's your passion, you say, I want to study the Bible so that I can rightly understand it, so I can rightly divide it. It doesn't mean cut it into pieces. It means rightly interpret it, rightly understand what it's talking about. And the way to do that is by studying it. And so God says you need to have a passion to study the Bible. Say, I want to learn from this book. I want to gain from this book. I want to benefit from this book. And you know, I've read through the Bible countless times. I haven't kept track of them. I read through it every year, and I've been doing that for probably 30-some years. I don't know. But every time I read through the Bible, there's new things I discover. There's new things that I see. Just yesterday, Melody and I read Genesis chapter 1. And as we read Genesis chapter 1, I was noting there the times when God said when he created the fish of the sea that he told the water, and I got to do some more digging into this because I don't really have an answer for this, but he said that the water was to bring forth abundantly. Well, did God just put the... I can't find the verse right off the top of my head, but did God somehow put all the tiny creatures into the water, and then the water brought forth abundantly? Or was it just a figure of speech? I don't know. I got to dig into that a little bit. But there's things you can learn. And watch for things as you read the Bible. Look for things that can be an encouragement to your help or to your soul. And things that you didn't see before. And that's why it's good to mark your Bible so the next time you come through there, say, oh, yeah, I saw that one. I didn't see that one before. I remember last time I read that, yeah, I saw that verse. And then I looked it up and, oh, there's my note. Yeah, what do you know? That's the answer right there. And that will help you. It'll help you to grow spiritually. And the older you get, the more you're going to need that because you youngsters can remember things, but us olders have a harder time remembering those things. They kind of leave more quickly. But we need to study the scriptures regularly. Now, reading the Bible is not really about how much you read, but about how carefully and thoughtfully you read it. I would rather see someone that read only one chapter a day and really focused on it and learned from that chapter something to feed their soul than to read, you know, five chapters a day and didn't get anything out of it. You're far better off. So it's not the quantity, it's the quality of your reading. And so focus carefully on that. And here's some 5 tips that I want to give you that can be of help. And I've given them to you before in different forms. But number one, if I was to choose one thing above all else for reading the Bible and gaining from it, my number one tip would be follow a schedule. It doesn't matter what kind of schedule, but you have some kind of schedule you're following. Because if you just open up your Bible each day and say, where will I read today? Yeah, I'll read here. And then the next day, oh, I'll read over here. You're not going to gain much. Get a schedule. There's all kinds of them. That's what this little book's all about. It's a schedule. But if you don't want to follow this schedule, follow another schedule. I actually don't follow that one anymore. I follow one that I made up that I have on my computer, and I read 2 chapters of the Old Testament, and then I read 1 chapter of the Psalms, and I read 10 verses of Proverbs, and then I read 1 chapter of the New Testament. And Melody and I do that together, and then we can discuss it, and we can talk about it, and we can share with each other things that we've learned. That's been a real help to us over the last few years. But you come up with your own schedule. But you've got to have a schedule. If you don't have a schedule, you'll just fizzle out, and you either won't read, or else you'll just kind of jump around here and there, and it's not going to help you any. So get yourself a schedule. If you need help, come see me, or you can Google it. There's all kinds of Bible reading schedules online of all different sorts, but find yourself a schedule. That's number one. Number two, establish a daily Bible reading routine. You got to have a routine. Some of you read the Bible whenever you happen to think of it. That doesn't work. You can't do that because you won't think of it. The devil will make sure you keep busy so that you don't think of it until you're just ready to drop into bed and think, oh, I didn't read my Bible today. Oh, I'm too tired. I'll read it twice tomorrow. It won't work. You got to have a routine. All right, so get yourself a routine. For me, it's right after my walk. I go for a walk, feed the chickens, take care of the dog, and then I sit down and I have my time of prayer and my Bible reading. And that's for me, that's my schedule. And I follow that every single day. And if something comes up where I know that I've got something that's going to interfere with my early part of my day, and I've got to, then I kind of push it forward a little bit. But that's my time. But you need a time every day where it's a routine. You need not only a time, but you need a place. If you just plop down on the couch and the family's running around, the kids are all over the place and the dog's, you know, coming in and out and whatever, and you're going to get distracted. You need a place that's quiet, a place. This is my Bible time place. This is where I'm going to read my Bible, and this is where I spend my time with God every day. And if you got children, the children know, this is my Bible time, this is my Bible place, and you just leave me alone when I'm here, you go off and read your Bible. All right? But you need a place. You need a time and a place where you read your Bible. That's number two. Number three, you need to focus when you read. You got to focus when you read. Now, I can't believe that I'm the only one that struggles with this. All right? There's times that I'm reading along, and especially if it's not that interesting of a chapter, you just kind of almost mumbling the words to yourself, and you tune out, and your mind's in wonderland. You don't gain anything that way. And I don't gain anything when that happens. All right? So we need to be very careful that that doesn't happen. We need to work against that and not allow that to happen. So you need to focus when you read the Scriptures. And that takes effort to focus. But that's important because if we don't focus, we're not going to gain. Number four, very important, you need to ask questions about what you read. It's amazing how many people can read the Bible and never ask any questions about what they read. They just say, oh, yeah, I've read it. Ask questions. Why did he do that? Why did he say that? Why did he put that word there? I don't get it. Why did he use this word like he did? And ask those kind of questions. They get you digging. They get you investigating. They get you challenging yourself and saying, what is there that God wants me to learn from that? As I read this chapter, how am I going to gain from that? What is there that will benefit me? Just this morning, I read Psalm 1. Well, we've got Psalm 1 memorized. We memorized that on Sunday nights. And as I read through Psalm 1, I thought, oh, I know this psalm. But, you know, I need to ask myself, what is there that I need to work on? Or what is there that I can learn from? Or what is there that I can benefit from? Ask yourself questions about what you read. If you don't, you'll just read it. You say, well, been there, done that, read that, didn't help me any, and you move on. And you go through the day and it hasn't helped you. So you've got to ask those questions. Number five is you need to write down something that you found. Write down a nugget that you found. Folks, if you don't write down something you found every day, you're missing out. Because that will really, really help you. And I've shared this with you in the past, but I mean, years and years ago, Melody would tell me this. She's been doing this for a donkey's age. And probably, oh, I don't know, 10, 15 years ago now, she came to me and says, "Do you write something down each day?" And I said, "Well, yeah, I write a few notes in my side margins of my Bible whenever I find something cool." And she said, "No, she don't mean that. I mean, you need to write down a principle, something you learned from the day." I said, "No, I don't do that." And she says, you need to do that. She kept after me. Finally, I said, all right, I'll give it a try. And she was right. It makes a world of difference. It really helps because if you write down something you learn every day, and it's something you can apply to your life, something you can use in your life, something you can help, it will help others with, or whatever the case may be, but something you found. So what I do is I read through my whole scripture passages, the Old Testament, the Psalms and the Proverbs and the New Testament. Once I'm all done with that, as I'm reading, I'll note either in my mind or on a paper, or I put a little dot in the margin of my Bible and on verses that kind of jarred my thoughts for the day. And I'll go back to those things and I'll think through them again. Yeah, that's really good. I'll think on that a little bit and check out another. Yeah. And then I'll narrow down to one. And then I'll take that one verse and I'll just hone in on it. And I'll answer some questions about that verse, look up some things about it, read some commentary maybe about it, or just meditate on it or pray over it or ask God, "God, what do you want me to learn from this?" But then I write down something. This verse tells me this is what I need to do. This is how I can grow. And each week in the bulletin when I put those little ponders in there, that's where I get them from my daily reading. And so that's the kind of thing that I write down to give you an idea of what you can write down. But find your own. It'll be a blessing to you if you'll do this. So those are the five things here. Let me go through them again. Follow a schedule. You need to have a routine every day. And then you need to focus. You need to ask questions. You need to write something down. Those five things will revolutionize your Bible reading. It really will. So even if you've been reading every day, those things will be a help to you. And I encourage you to do that. You know, if you need help with reading tips, come see me and be able to help you if I can. All right? Then we see also that the response that takes place here. Look at verse number 19. The word "that," all right, in my text here, let me just show you so you can see this. You probably can't see, you're all too far back, but you can see the colors. All right? I've highlighted the whole passage in one color, but then there's four "that's," and I highlighted them in dark blue. Why? To remind myself, these are steps that he's given to the king. The first thing he says, I want you to read your Bible every day. Why? That he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep all his words of his law and his statutes to do them. All right, so God said, this is why I want you to read the Bible. This is a response to reading the Bible. This is what's going to happen if you do. He said, if you read the Bible every day and you carefully read the scriptures, it'll increase your awe for God. You will learn to fear God. Now, folks, all of us need to fear God more. I don't even have to ask any questions about that. I know we all need that. We need to fear God more. How do we get greater fear for God? God tells us here. He says, read the Bible every day and you'll get more fear of God. Why? Now, how does this take place? Well, you know, as you're reading the Bible, you see God's might. You see his power. You see his mercy. You see his love. You see his response. How did God act? How did we respond? How did he deal with that situation? You see the greatness of our God, and that gives you a greater fear of God. It will heighten your respect and fear for him. And you will encounter his judgments of sin and his warnings to help you to see how God responds and how does God act in these situations. And the more you fear God, the less you will want to be like the ungodly world. Folks, that's what we need. The more we fear God, if we really, you know, let's face it, if God Almighty, and he is here with us in spirit, but he's not here with us in body. But if God was sitting here, or if he was doing the preaching for us today, we would sit here in fear and trembling and awe. And the better you know Him, the better you will see who He is, and the more fearful and awe-stricken you will be in His presence and say, I don't want to be like the outside world. I want to be like God. I want to be more like Him. I want to love Him and cherish Him more. And the more you spend in the Bible, the more you'll fear God, the more you'll gain an awe for God, and the more you'll gain a desire to be like Him instead of like the world. But then He also said that His daily Bible reading would help Him to obey the Scriptures. Right? That it would help Him to keep all the law, words of the law, and the statutes to do them. So reading the Scriptures will reveal God's expectations. What does God expect of me? You know, sometimes we do wrong because we don't even know what's right. Right? Sometimes we do that. Even in the world around us, there's times that we break the law. We didn't even know it was a law, so that we didn't know that we broke the law. All right? And so our duty is to know what the rules are so we don't break the rules. And so same it is with God. God says, the more you know about my Scripture, the more you know about my character, the more you know about me, the easier it will be for you to spot it and say, this is right, this is wrong. And so He says, I want you to be able to know that, so it'll help you to do what's right. You'll know my expectations, and you'll know how God dealt with those who disobeyed. That's a big one. How did God deal with Achan when he stole? God executed him. How did God deal with Gehazi when he had greed? God gave him leprosy. How did God deal with Jonah when he fled God's call? Stuck him in a big fish for 3 days. Yeah, and so we can see how God deals with things, and it helps us to see God's attitude toward those kind of things. You know, God may not stick me in a big fish because I don't do what He calls me to do, but I know that's God's attitude toward that disobedience. And He will deal with me in some way similar. Now, the Bible also, as we read it, will motivate us to obey God because we'll want to do that. We'll see, this is what the Scriptures say. I want to be like that. And you're reading there when the psalmist says, you know, oh God, I want to be like You. And that gives me a passion in my heart saying, yes, that's what I want too. I want to be like God. I want to be more clean before Him. So reading the Scripture can help you to learn to fear God and obey God. So I didn't even show you my little charts here. I think you all figured this out. So this first step is to read the Bible. The second step is to fear and obey. The third step is to humble and be humble and faithful. We notice again in verse number 20 that word that, I've highlighted it, that his heart be not lifted up above his brethren. All right? That his heart not be lifted up above his brethren. So God says, if you read the Bible, all right, so if you read the Bible, the next step, He said, if you'll do that, you will learn to fear and obey God. And if you learn to fear and obey God by reading the Bible, the next thing is you won't be proud. You'll be humble before your brethren. And the king especially, you know, there was a temptation to, I'm the king, you do what I want. And, you know, everybody bows down to me. You didn't bow down far enough. Come on, bow down a little bit more. You know, that kind of thing. That's the attitude the king could have had. He had all power. But God said, I don't want you to have that kind of an attitude. I want you to have the attitude of humility and caring about other people. And so God challenged the king to read the Scriptures, learn to fear God and obey Him. By doing that, he would humbly submit himself and that God would work in his life. And he'd have a rightful position before his people as God would see him. Now, we will also humbly see ourselves no better than others who are under us, if we will have this right perspective. You know, all of us have people under us. And when we have people that are under us, if you're married, the husband's in charge of the family. The wife is under him. Doesn't mean she's any less than him, but she's under him in position. Children are under the parents in position. You go to work, the boss is over you. You're under him in position. There may be people that are serving under you in position at work. And so we have positions of leadership. And as we do, we need to treat them in a humble way, in a kind way, with empathy. Just do it my way because I'm the boss. Well, that's not going to work very good. But treating them like we want to be treated helps a lot. And God says, it'll help you to learn to do this if you read the Bible every day and you'll learn to fear and obey God, who is our ultimate sovereign. And then we will be humble before Him and we'll be humble before others, and it'll help us in our daily walk, being humble before others. But He also says that it'll make us faithful. Look at the end of verse 20, that He turned not aside from the commandments to the right hand or to the left. All right, so He's not going to sway. He's not going to swerve. He's not going to turn. He's going to keep the king doing the right thing in the right time. And He's going to be faithful. Faithfulness is a virtue that God wants to cultivate in our life. You know, that's something that you can strive for this year. I want greater character in my life this year. Sometimes I look at my life and I see things that I just don't like. I wish I could change that. Well, I need to strive to do it. I need to become a better person. And that's part of our character. And so God says it'll help us by reading the scriptures, fearing and obeying God, being humble and faithful. It'll make us a faithful person if we spend time with God. We need to do that. You know, what gives us spiritual stability? Well, it's learning to fear and obey God. We need that stability where we're not going up and down. You know, there's a lot of Christians in life that are like yo-yos. You look at the yo-yo, they're playing with the yo-yo. Down and up, down and up, down and up, down and up. That's part of the yo-yo. And there's a lot of Christians that are yo-yo Christians. One day they're down spiritually, and they're not doing much of anything. And then they're up, and they're going good, and they're down again. They're up again, and they're down again. God doesn't want us to be like that. He wants us to be growing. Now, He'd far rather that we grow on an even slow pace than being up and down and up and down and up and down. God wants you to grow this year. So make it your goal this year of 2023. This year I'm going to grow. I'm going to learn from the scriptures. I'm not going to be a yo-yo Christian anymore. I'm going to grow in the scriptures. I'm going to gain, and I'm going to begin to grow and become more of what God wants me to be. And make that your passion and your desire. You know, learning to fear and obey God through spending time in His Word daily will help you to do that. That brings us to the fourth step. So God says here, first step is read your Bible. Then if you'll read your Bible, God said, it'll help you, King, to fear and obey God. And once you learn to fear and obey God as your sovereign, then He'll help you to be able to be humble and faithful, doing what He wants you to do, treating other people the way that you ought to treat. But then He says, finally, it's going to give you long life. We see here at the end of verse 20, He says that, another word, that again, to the end that He may prolong His days in His kingdom and He and His children in the midst of Israel. All right, so God says, I will give you a longer life if you do what I've told you to do. Now, that's pretty amazing when you stop and think about it. Reading the Bible will help you fear and obey God. Reading the Bible, then, once you learn to fear and obey God, it will make you more humble and faithful. And that will, in turn, God says, I will then make you so that you have a longer life. People all around us want longer life. They want to live longer. I mean, why not? Dying early is not a very nice thought. I mean, yeah, going to heaven's okay, but, you know, we enjoy life. And God says, I'm going to give you a longer life if you will do what I tell you to do. And sometimes God prematurely takes the life of a person because he does wrong. And we can see some examples of that in the Bible, and that is true. But he is pleased when we do what is right. And he wants to prolong our days. In Proverbs chapter 10, verse 27 says, the fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. What a coincidence. Way back here in Deuteronomy, God told Moses, you read the Bible, you'll learn to fear God, and I'm going to make you give you a longer life. And then Solomon, years and years and years later, in all of his wisdom, God had him write down, the fear of the Lord prolongeth days. Fearing God, putting God first, God says it'll lengthen your days. You know, one of the simple ways that we can understand it is, you know, people that don't fear God and don't want to do anything that God wants, and they live a wild, reckless life. Well, that wild, reckless life a lot of times ends up in accidents or disasters or problems and or sickness, and they die early, and they could have lived a lot longer, but no, they die of cirrhosis of the liver or something because of their foolishness. Now, I realize there's exceptions to all these things, but God's talking in a general sense. You fear God, you're going to live longer. Now, you might say, well, I know somebody that was really, really godly, and they died when they were in their teens. Well, God's not lying. God knows how long you're going to live. He knows how long I'm going to live. And God can say, I'm going to shorten that time. Or he can say, I'll lengthen it a bit. God can do that. And God tells us here that that's what he will do. That's a wonderful promise from God. But not only that, get the last thing he says there. He ends the chapter by saying, and his children in the midst of Israel. Wow! What he's saying is not only will you benefit, but your children will benefit from this. If you learn to read the Bible every day and fear and obey God and become a humble, faithful person, it'll lengthen your life, but it'll also lengthen the life of your children. How? Because they're going to have a better father or a better mother that are going to treat them in a better way, and you're going to teach them the scriptures, and you'll teach them the same things you're learning so that they can follow these same steps into a longer life. It will pass on. It is something we pass on to our next generation. That's what we need to strive for. So this morning, as we've looked at this passage, God says, I don't want you to have a king. I want to be your king. But I know you're going to want a king. So because I know you're going to want a king, here's the rules. And number four rule is he needs to read the Bible every day. He needs to have his own Bible, read it every day. And if he'll do that, then I will cause him to fear me and obey me. Because the scripture will transform his life and help him to fear and obey God. And if he once learns to fear and obey God, then that's going to make him more of a humble person and more of a faithful person. And once he becomes humble and faithful, then God said, all right, now I can lengthen his life a bit. I won't have to shorten it. I can keep it going because I can trust him. And God promises this to the king. And he says that we who know him as our Savior, we're kings and priests with him. So folks, these things are truths that we can apply to our lives right now, this day. And throughout this next year, make this next year, 2023, the year of spiritual growth in your life. Make it the year when you're going to grow abundantly as a Christian, not just kind of float along, not just kind of keep your head above water, but grow and become all that God wants you to be. You can do it. You can. But you need to spend time with God. I trust you will.